grace of God in Christ Jesus, poured out in every gift of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish, and you shall not live long in the land, and your crossing, and that you are crossing to the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give you to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 119 responsively. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who follow the teachings of the Lord.
Happy are they who observe your decrees and see you with all their hearts.
Who never do any wrong, but also walk in your ways.
You lay down your commandments that they should only be well.
That my ways were made so direct that I keep your statutes.
Then I should not be put to shame when I regard all the earth.
I will thank you with a true heart when I have learned your righteous judgments.
I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I do not speak to you as spiritual people. I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food. For you are not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of the flesh. You are not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations. For one says, "I belong to Paul," and another, "I belong to Apollos." Are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard it said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your own head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, if you are anything like me at all, as I was proclaiming that gospel, you were thinking, "I wonder what she's going to preach." You know, it has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. No mere mortal, not even a committee, could have planned that we would be reading this part of Matthew's gospel in the middle of February, this divorce text on Valentine's weekend. I'm not going to say that any other date to preach on this text would be any easier. You know, one of our church members tells me almost every week how happy he is to be a Lutheran because he gets to hear about God's love. He grew up in a different denomination and remembers hearing a lot about God's anger with our behavior, but not so much about God's love. We Lutherans do talk a lot about God's love. We sing songs about the God of love. We address our prayers to the God of love. We offer our hearts to the God of love. And then we get this text that sounds like a whole lot of law. Where's the love in that? If you call your brother or sister a fool, you're liable to the hell of fire. At the first sermon, Joshua gave the children's sermon, and he asked the children to raise their hands if they'd ever been angry. And then he said to the congregation, All right, be a good example, be honest. Has anyone ever been angry? And more than one hand went up. And then Jesus says, if you have ever been angry, you're liable to go to hell. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Do not swear, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. These words from Holy Scripture are not a love letter. They're not the words that we would like to find in our Valentine card. But these words are the words from Jesus, the very heart of God. The God made flesh, incarnate love itself. This is one of those texts that I would like to just rush right by and maybe preach on the first reading instead. But in order to get a glimpse of God, the heart of God, we have to get to the heart of this scripture. Because this indeed is a Valentine. This is a love letter from God. It's an invitation to listen to the heart of God. And an honest listening of our own hearts tells us that this text indeed is about God's love. I've never had a child, so I've never had the thrill of hearing the baby's heartbeat for the first time. But many of you have had that joy. Our preschool children sing a song about their hearts beating and keeping their bodies alive, and they put their hands on their heart and feel their heartbeat and then sing this song about thump, 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 it's keeping me alive. I know a lot of people who wear those bands, those heart rate monitors on their arms when they exercise or stop to take their heart rate when they're exercising. But all of that, the heart is more than a physical organ. We also use the heart as a symbol, and we talk about the heart as a core of love. Valentine's Day tomorrow, and we see a lot of hearts. But we also use the heart not only as a sign of love, but we use that language, that symbol for heart as courage and compassion. We use heart language and we say to somebody to assure them, take heart or don't lose heart. When we hear a sad situation, we might say, my heart just aches for you. If you have a change of heart, that means that you have significantly changed your opinion or your viewpoint. If you know something perfectly, you know it by heart, like the national anthem. Or maybe you don't know it by heart. We place our hand on our heart when we pledge allegiance to the flag. We're saying that this heart is connected to that feeling of patriotism. The heart is the very core, the very center of desire. To seek with your whole heart means to be focused, to be deliberate, to be single-minded until you achieve your heart's desire. Well, to listen to the heartbeat of Matthew's gospel is to take a broader look, not just at the text, but what precedes. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is giving this long discourse to the disciples, telling them how he would like them to live, how they must be to follow in the path that he would have them journey. Jesus is putting words to the love of God, putting words to the heartbeat of God, the Beatitudes, and that urging us to live righteous lives, that brings us right to this passage. The reading last Sunday ended with Jesus saying that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then we get these readings. I think that Jesus should have said, I came not to abolish the law, but to make it even tougher, to make it even more exacting. Jesus lifts up for us some big commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not swear falsely. Now, if he had just said that, we would be able to nod and say, I'm doing pretty good. I've never killed anybody on purpose. Never committed adultery. Not that I didn't want to. We all know those Ten Commandments. We learned them by heart when we were in confirmation class. The disciples knew, and so do we, that this is how God wants us to live. But then Jesus goes on, and he breathes new life into these commandments by explaining what they mean in their fullness. Jesus goes to the heart of the matter, God's desire for how we would live together as community, as his beloved children, is broadly painted through this whole Sermon on the Mount. And we can see how far apart we are from that ideal. We can see how different our hearts are from God's heart. I get an annual physical. If you don't, I would recommend it to you. After they put you on that lousy scale, the next thing they do, the doctor puts a stethoscope in his ears and listens to your heart. The doctor can diagnose a lot of different things just from the sound of your heart. Key information is given to the doctor as she or he listens to your heart. God listens to our hearts, and God knows what disease lives there. Sure, we keep that commandment not to kill one another, but we hate, we despise, we lug around great grudges, we kill relationships, we shun others, we wish they were dead. But God listens to our hearts and knows the disease that lives there. Of course we do not commit adultery, but we disrespect one another. We treat those we don't like or who hold different opinions than us as less than human. We make jokes that disrespect men or women. God listens to our hearts and knows the disease that lives there. We can keep from speaking falsely, from swearing falsely, but we misuse our words. We put a spin on them just so. Instead of letting our yes mean yes and our no mean no, we tell lies and half-truths rather than speaking honestly. Excuse me. Now, I read a statistic, and they say that statistics are 90% wrong. But I read a statistic this week that said 91% of the people in the United States think that lying is okay. Sometimes, 91% think that sometimes it's all right to not tell the truth. And 60% of the people in the world, or people in the United States, think that everybody lies more than they do. So we all are, according to that statistic, we are all lying all the time. This commandment calls us to let our yes be yes and our no be no, to speak honestly, to not tell lies or half-truths or white lies, I don't know what that means. We are made in the image of God, but our hearts beat to a different rhythm. God's heart in Jesus Christ is the real love song, but we fall short. We're sinners, and we know it's going to take more than a breakfast bowl of Cheerios to make us heart healthy. We know it, and God knows it. God loves us so much that what we cannot do, heal ourselves, he does for us. God loves us so much that what we cannot do, save ourselves, God does for us. The impossibility of being perfect keepers of the law draws us in to the outstretched arms of our loving God, whose grace and mercy is freely and lavishly given for us. If Jesus had set the bar so low that we didn't need anyone's help to achieve that, we would think we could save ourselves. This scripture, with the bar set so high that we know that we could never achieve it, achieves exactly what Jesus wants: us to turn our attention, our hearts, our minds to him. This is a Valentine's text because it has us running into the arms of God, the God who loves us and strengthens us. It reminds us so clearly that we cannot save ourselves, that we need Jesus. We are created in God's image, and our hearts are meant to beat at the same rhythm, the same love song. And we know we cannot do that without getting close to the heart of Jesus, who beckons us, who calls us, who welcomes us into his embrace. This is where we find true love. Love isn't a box of chocolate, even if it's a heart-shaped box of chocolate, or those little candies with sweet sayings on them. Love is really the bread and wine that we receive from this table, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. This is the Valentine that speaks to our hearts and tells us what true love really is. So take heart. Our God is a God of love. Our God is love. Amen.